Fife fans, welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a few mates talk about anything and everything that takes their interest. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Just talk about Fife Club.
Discuss it.
Yeah. Share it with your friends.
Get it about a bit.
Like an STD.
Put it in there.
Remember, kids, an STD shared is an STD halved.
I don't think that's how it works.
Really? Oh, God.
It stings. Are you saying I have 1,000% STDs instead of 10% STDs?
It'd be funny if I actually had sex.
Jesus. Right. So, you can talk to us now on our shiny, shiny new website. Designed and created by the lovely and talented people at 200 by 200 Design Studio in Dunfermline. It's looking awesome. We've still got some tweaks and bits to do, but you should all go visit the new page and see what's going on. It is going to be the main source for all future Fife Club news and opportunities to buy stuff from us, and please buy stuff from us when we do.
Yeah. Keep an eye out for any vacancies.
job postings. If you think you could do Fife Club better than us, which you almost certainly can, write in. Tell us why you should be on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, how can you get to the website and all of our lovely homes on the internet?
I would suggest you go on the internet.
Yeah, just Google it. Fuck it.
The information superhighway.
Ain't no one else called Fife Club. That's how you do SEO. But seriously, go to our brand new shiny website. And thanks again to people at Walk Fife, can I say as well?
Well, Sean and 200 by 200.
200 by 200. www.fifeclub.co.uk. Email Ken at fifeclub.co.uk. Instagram Fife Club. Twitter at Fife Club. Facebook.com/ Fife Club Pod or at Fife Club.
That's the one. Thank you. So, anyway, we do have a tight schedule as Dave is on a curfew and we have to get him home before midnight.
Otherwise, I turn into a pumpkin.
You already resemble pumpkin quite a lot, Dave.
I'm pumpkin-esque.
I realise I'm not one to talk about that. But
I've got a joke about that. How do hillbillies have sex? The pumpkin.
Nice.
That's good, actually. Good.
That's
a pumpkin, if you will. that's a Richard Herring joke. I can't take credit for it. But and yes, it is a pumpkin filled with spur.
So anyway,
oozing out the ice.
Oh my god. Anyway, with a bit of audio trickery around the mics with my good self, Kutch, is arsehole. Arsehole. Did you hear arsehole or Jamie? Because it's 100% Jamie. Yeah.
The real trick there is they are the same word.
And across from him is Fanny Boz. Fanny Boz. Was that Mark or Fanny Boz? Well, I'll let you know. It is Mark.
Yeah, I heard Fanny Boss.
And next to him is Dave. Dave. So did you hear Dave or Cockwomble? I can reveal to you right now that yes, everybody, you heard it right. It's Cockwomble.
Hi, everyone.
Nah, just kidding. It's Dave.
It's not.
I always remember Great Uncle Bulgaria. I don't remember Cockwomble. Maybe that was his nickname.
He was the purple-headed one.
It's more a way of life. Dave always has his cock out, overground or underground. Always wobbling free.
Lovely, lovely. So yeah, that really kind of brings us right into our first topic this week. Yanni or Laurel?
Yanni. Or Laurel.
Yanni.
Or Laurel. Yeah.
So if listeners haven't seen this, it's basically an internet thing, which is like the black and gold dress.
Yeah, all over again.
But audio.
So it's very much in our wheelhouse. Our audio wheelhouse.
Yes.
And it's basically...
We were going to do the black and gold dress, And they just say, what do you see, listener? This is an entirely audio production.
Joke's on you, I'm not wearing anything.
Yeah.
I wore it especially as well. Yeah.
And it's an audio thing. It says one thing, but different people hear it either saying Yanni or Laurel. Mm-hmm. Yanni seems to be in a high pitch. Laurel seems to be in a low pitch. And it depends on what you pay more attention to. I hope this means that everything I've ever said, which is usually embarrassing and not funny, is actually come out quite eloquent. Completely different words.
That's what I was interested in, is to see if our listeners actually hear what we hear as well. So I'd be interested to hear from them to see if they hear what we're saying or if they actually hear a good podcast.
Actually, yeah, it's the only explanation for us having listeners, to be honest.
It's a bit of a weird one because, like, when you first sent it to me, Jamie, yesterday, like, I went in and straight away it was Yanni. That's what I heard. And James had replied and said that he was like, it's Laurel. How could anybody hear Yanni? And the two of us were like, nah, it's Yanni. And it was sort of like, yeah, how is that? How is that happening? And I was like, is it like the black and gold dress? Is it sort of like how you perceive everything? Mm. Is that what's going on? So I sat and listened to it about 400 times till I got to the point where, yeah, I could hear Laurel. But then I realized that it was the higher and lower pitch. Like, if I concentrated, the high pitch was what I heard instantly. But if I concentrated just like on that lower pitch, Laurel came through.
Mm.
I got to the point where this morning I'd listened to it so many times again that now I can hear both. It's like two voices over top of one another.
Yeah,
and it's really fucking freaky.
Yeah.
I heard Laurel once. Mm-hmm. And that was it. I've only listened to it probably about, like pressed play on it probably about 10 times.
I got a wee bit obsessed with it because it was just like, how is this working? How is this working?
Well, I figured out how it was working just by listening to it. I was like,
well, wait, hold on. Jamie does a boffin section.
I've already said
it. So it's just high pitch and low pitch. Vaguely tending into Malcolm there.
Malcolm
in the politics
bar. Come to a politics bar.
Oh, I love Malcolm.
Yeah. But yeah, it was, like you say, it is just about the pitch. But what's interesting as well from what I've been reading today is a lot of younger people are hearing Yanni and older people are hearing Laurel, because again, it's the frequency thing that as you get older, the higher pitches disappear.
Yeah,
well, that doesn't explain it though, because James is only 6 years old.
That is actually entirely true.
Yeah,
but it just means he's got shit hearing. Yeah.
There you go. Are you part of him as all that Dorian Gray motherfucker?
I'm surprised.
He looks 6, but he's 500.
I'm surprised I can hear Yanni then, given how much I fucking drench my ears
here.
And sound.
Yeah, same here, but...
And played in bands and stuff with no ear protection and just...
Clearly tells you that you've got good hearing.
There you go.
I think that there's another thing that I read about it, which was also dependence on the device that you're playing it through.
Yeah.
Like the speakers, quality of the speakers, the sound card, the way it's processed... Because some speakers and some like sound card processors will play it, will put more emphasis on the higher frequency and some more emphasis on the lower frequency. So
I did think it's a higher frequency, lower frequency thing, but I thought it'd actually be really funny if it's actually a link that changes. But then obviously it wouldn't work with people in the same room. I thought this would work well on Twitter because people aren't in contact with each other.
Yeah.
But just to double check that, the second time I listened to it, I was like, Dad, what'd you hear?
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I hear Laura. I was like, shut the fuck up.
No, because that was the thing first as well. Is that sort of like, right, what's the trick here? But no, it's weird.
Because I can only hear Laurel.
Can
like
you?
when I listen to it. Yeah. And I was wondering like if there was any kind of like subliminal, like, because Yanni's not a word. You know what I mean? Laurel is a word.
I have
right?
seen some linguistics say
and
that.
I wondered if there was a linguistic element to it, but it probably almost is entirely pitch. But I just thought like Laurel is like, you know, your brain starts hearing something and thinks it knows, it jumps ahead. Like when you read and things like that, it jumps ahead.
Well,
I've seen people say, like psychologists and linguists say, that's a factor.
Well, that was a sure guess.
Like the thing that I was also saying was, intrigued because I don't know anybody that's just heard it without reading the thing first. So I don't know if that puts a bit on you as well.
You might hear something else.
Because especially the ones that we were looking at, it said Yanni or Laurel. So as soon as it went in, I'm looking for either or and I'm getting Yanni.
So maybe if it doesn't say Yanni, then you might hear both at once because you're not looking for either. So because you're pre-selectively looking for one or both.
Yeah.
then you only hear one.
I have heard some people say that they're hearing like red or yeah, white, seen that. Like yummy and yeah. you know, different. And
that's how words, I heard it say like yaller, you know, it changed to the L at the end a couple of times. But that was it.
It's interesting.
I heard yummy because I was looking at a sandwich. Wait.
We'll put up a link to it with this.
Yeah.
Post.
Yeah. I heard kill all the...
wait a second.
Whoa.
Won't go any further with that.
I can't remember what I was going to say. You know in the dress one, when you were looking at the dress, like I saw both the colours of dress.
And yeah,
it just
so
it just depended on what day it was.
Yeah.
It was like I would see it and see both.
No, I can't. Every single time it's black and blue.
Oh, it's black and fucking blue. That was it.
And
it
is a black and blue dress.
Yeah.
From what was it, black and blue or red and gold?
Black
and
blue? No, black and blue or white and gold.
White and gold.
Yeah.
But again, it depends on device as well.
Yeah.
I'm so fucking angry about that.
I've never seen white and gold. Yeah. Like, absolutely annoyed. But I think I can get it. I think I can understand because, having played about with bits of photography and stuff and things like white balance and how whites and blues are. Like
yeah, very hue-wise.
And
yeah.
blacks into yellows and stuff like that. When there's light on black, that's, you know, like, that's how it shows kind of some sort of reflection.
Did you notice that when you were taking photos of nude kittens?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That are locked in my shed. Yeah. Come on. And they were sitting on coasters. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Fuck, I'm done here. That's all I've got.
It's a bit of an insight, at least.
fun fact, you know, it's been a long question in philosophy and anthropology and everything else about whether people in different cultures see different colours.
Yeah.
Because people don't have all the same words for colours. And, some people, you know, have grouped them in completely different ways. The ancient Greeks, for example, they talked about things being blue or sea-coloured, but they talked about hues. So to them, sort of, I can't think of the categories, but things like brown and blonde and red would all be the same thing, but not just because of their colour, but because of their aspects. Like white was associated with being not just a colour, but quick, because it's associated with lightning and things like that. So when things are translated from like the epics and they talk about people's skin tone, there's been a lot of debate about this. So like, well, this means black.
Yeah.
But it can also mean blonde. Yeah. And it's like really confusing as to... So that's why they didn't have the same conceptions of race in the ancient world. Because they literally didn't...
Couldn't...
They just called everyone barbarians, to be fair. They were less racist than us.
Is that not the Richard Herring thing about how...
Yes, it is, yeah. God, I'm stealing off Richard Herring's jokes tonight. Dave, think about
how, what was it, the white supremacists actually have a better understanding of the world and race than the rest of us because they only see two colours. You're white or black.
In fairness, I've always confused hues as well.
Yeah,
Hugh Laurie and Hugh Grant are very similar.
As soon as I said yeah, I was like, wait, oh God.
Glad you did.
Oh no.
Walked right into it.
Glorious shite banter.
I thought about trying to make that joke. But it tells you something when I couldn't make that even work.
If you can go for a walk.
Yeah. I had to.
Fair dues.
Yeah, but this whole kind of Laurel and Yanny thing, it's going to be around for a while. It's going to make me as angry as that dress did for some unknown reason. It just needs to fuck off now. But we'll share it.
Yeah, we will.
Share it and get back to us. Let us know what you think. These guys can read it.
I asked a few guys at work. It was like, oh, so what's your opinion? Oh, I haven't heard it yet. It was like, all right, well, you will. And I'll walk in next week and I'll be talking about it next week. Great.
I had no clue what you were talking about on the group chat.
No.
Yeah, behind the scenes, guys. We prep for this in our group chat.
By prep for it, we mean on the day we got, oh shit, we haven't thought of anything to say.
Not that close a peek behind the curtain, Jamie.
What's in the news? What's happening? James, give us content for Desert Island Dicks. Yeah.
The boy is a content mine. Yeah, for somebody who spent that long down a content mine, he looks surprisingly fresh-faced.
I love the emphasis on boy as well.
Yeah. I've got the meme log pop.
Forevermore, James will be known as Boy Child in this podcast.
It's good when he's not here to defend himself.
He does look like a chimney sweep, doesn't he? Like,
it could be a chimney sweep.
Yeah. Indeed. Some sad news this week.
Ultra sad news.
Yeah, really sad news. At the loss of Frightened Rabbit singer Scott Hutchinson, who went missing last
Wednesday.
Yeah. And it turned out that they found his body at Port Edgar on Thursday morning. Wasn't it? Yeah. And it's really, really fucking sad.
Yeah, it's the kind of outpouring of grief from a lot of people on like more of a personal level as well. It seems like that his music and his personality along with his music has just had such an impact on so many people's lives.
100%.
That it's almost like a loss of something so much bigger than just, you know, a singer from that band. Because I was saying that even when Bowie went, like, I was gutted.
Yeah.
But Bowie had like a whole life and a whole catalogue and this whole happy backstory to him and all this sort of stuff. And then when Scott Hutchinson went, it was just a total... Oof.
Yep.
It was like a kick in the chest.
It was. Like, wow. And it's funny because part of my sort of like thinking on it is that as soon as I heard about what was going on and where he went missing at the Dakota at South Queensferry, it was almost like I knew. You knew straight away. He has prepped us in his lyrics for this. He's told us in great detail. It's actually scary the amount of detail that he's gone into about how this was going to happen. That wasn't a surprise, but still didn't expect it.
Kind of hoped it wasn't coming.
Yeah,
that's kind of
hoped it was never going to happen, and it wasn't.
Yeah,
but I think it's because in his writing, he sort of bared his soul, but then he always sort of not a positive spin, but almost a positive.
He always put on
a positive spin. That's not the right terms, but he found something. It sounds cheesy, but he found something beautiful in the sadness, sort of thing.
Yeah,
there's like an element of like also like in some of it, and I'm not as big a fan of Frightened Rabbit as others. Like, like this is probably going to make me listen to the back catalogue and things. But there was like the way he described some things. There was like a sort of tender pathos kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like there was humor in it and things like that.
Most
like
definitely.
His description of like sex. Yeah. In his lyrics is so hilarious and so accurate. It's like that complete antidote to the Hollywood movie where you go into a bar and you find the most beautiful woman in the world. You go home in a taxi, invite each other up to have coffee, and then suddenly you're tearing each other's clothes off and having the most elaborate gymnastic sex for hours and hours. No, this was like his description of sex was like how it really is. Mm-hmm. You get a bit drunk, you accidentally find yourself in somebody's house. You can't get your sock off for some kind of bizarre reason. It looks weird, and you start and you know the sock's on at the same time. You know, it's all that kind of thing. And I just like when I like some of the lyrics and things like that I've read, like that kind of tender, real thing. Yeah. It's like. He's like a genuine, real Scottish storyteller.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I mean, I've said this for a long time about them. I mean, I've been a pretty big fan for about, I don't know, 9-10 years, something like that. Ever since I heard them cover
Set You Free,
yeah, the song that we had at our the first dance at our wedding.
That was beautiful. You didn't tell anyone what it was going to be, and it came on. I was so perfect.
Again, there we go. That's both me and my wife absolutely love them. You know, they're a big part of our lives and the songwriting. But as I say, I've said to everybody that I've recommended them to, is like, look, if you're anywhere between the age of 19 and 45, and you've grown up in the last, 30 years in Scotland, these songs, the lyrics, I think if you've grown up anywhere, probably in the UK or Europe and maybe even elsewhere, but there is something that's quite particular about the locations that he talks about.
It's quite local.
It is. Yeah, it's local sort of terms and dialect and local sort of like you know, ideas.
It's sort of like Lemmy, but music-wise.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Well, and there's a definite sense of connection. I mean, Midnight Organ Fright is it's their biggest album. Yeah. You know, it's the gateway album as well. It's a breakup album. You know, it tells a story from start to finish of a relationship that just goes south, and him and how he comes out the other end of it. And I think anybody would get it, but I think if you live in Scotland and you've grown up in the last 30 years, there's particular sort of like resonance, so, you know, with that.
Yeah. I was going to say something very similar, just because it was in The Guardian today. Mm-hmm. They were talking about films and TV shows that are the most relatable for teens. Mm-hmm. And the one that like jumped out at me immediately for the most relatable teen story of all time for Britain, mm-hmm. and for British kids living in the suburb, particularly boys, is uh-huh. The Inbetweeners. Like, uh-huh. I know it's like it's a completely different thing, but The Inbetweeners is basically like My School. Like, yeah. By like the sort of ridiculousness of it.
It's interesting because I think that as well. I think The Inbetweeners, yeah.
I mean, obviously, they're trying to make the comedy.
I was going
to
say Stand By Me as well.
Well, I'm going to even go more local than that for, again, this area.
Yeah.
Gregory's Girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a classic coming of age film. And it, again, that thing, more so for boys, but also, you know, there's bits in there for all teens, girls and boys and whatnot. But it's a, you know, it's a story that happened not far away from here. And
there's a real gift to the people that are able to bring that kind of personal experience, that kind of like really relating, that relatability,
yeah.
that
yeah.
like other things just don't get.
That's totally, and it's, the more I think about it, that's the more of it, like, people who I really admire, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like Daniel Kitson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he isn't just really funny, he does stuff in really relatable ways. And he can do all the destroying people stuff as well, but he always, you know, it's always relatable as well, mm-hmm. and touch you on that level. Like,
yeah,
it's like Studio Ghibli films, right? Which I'm not the biggest expert on either, but I remember reading once someone said the difference between like Disney films, mm-hmm. and Studio Ghibli films is that Disney films touch your heart, whereas Studio Ghibli films touch your soul.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the
difference as well. Same thing, yeah. No, I'd definitely say that.
And I think in terms of narratives of things that we can, like the kind of films and culture that we tend to consume, it's usually there's like a vague against the odds struggle, but in the end you become some kind of superstar hero of your own story kind of thing. Yeah. And actually the reality is very, very different. The reality is like quite literally you get by.
That's it.
Yeah. That is it. And the people that can touch
shit
that
stuff happens.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, you're all
just
right.
Need a crack on.
Yeah. And that, like, people that can capture that side of it rather than like some kind of ordinary heroism sort of thing, which to a certain extent doesn't really happen that often. Mm. The people that can capture that is like, I think there's a genius in that, and I think Scott Hutchison from what I've listened to of them really did kind of capture that.
Yep. And that's why it's affecting everyone so much as well.
The outpourings of like the sheer generosity that the guy had as well.
Yeah.
Like, again, from me not knowing them particularly well, but people sharing personal stories on Twitter and things like that, they're like the generosity of time and spirit and things like that he took with fans, with other people, sending them things, handwritten notes and things like that. Like, I mean, for a guy who's going through hell himself.
Yeah, I mean, he was very, like, big, you know, advocate of using Twitter for everything. And, you know, he would communicate with the fans. And when it came, there was not that long ago, they did their 10th anniversary tour of Midnight Organ Fright. And the tickets were just selling out like nothing else. But on a couple of occasions, it seemed to be that they were selling and then going up on the tout pages as quick as possible. And so, like, to combat that, they tried a couple of different things. And he was on Twitter on the days, and he was like, you know, involved in it and trying to get sorted out. And I remember at the end of one lot of ticket sales, there were so many people complaining about, not at him, but about how, like, Ticketmaster had stuffed it up again, and the touts were da-da-da. And, like, the comment was just like, I fucking hate music, fuck this. And, you know, but people, that was his general sort of, like, demeanour and attitude. That wasn't an anger at the fans, it was an anger at just, like, the whole
the whole situation, and that he has no control over it, even when they've tried their best to put some kind of control in.
That element of being an artist, putting your art into the world, requires some level of business behind it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that business does not necessarily take into consideration the views of the artist.
One of the interviews that I saw actually about that, and it was him sat there, and I think it was at Google Play or something, and he was sat chatting away with them.
Yeah, that's actually quite good, because that was only... a month ago, it wasn't long ago at all,
and he was saying that it was like people were complaining at them because the tickets had all disappeared and they were doing smaller venues because he was not wanting to do it as a sellout tour, he was wanting to do it as a, well, you like guys were all interested.
Like how they did it when they played it originally, they were playing some of the same venues.
It was kind of weird when they got so big to me, because it's like, yeah, they play smaller venues,
yeah,
and then like all of a sudden they were, I mean, they're not massive, they're pretty big,
That's it. Because he kind of followed up by basically saying, you know, people were going on about add an extra date. You should do an extra date. And he was saying it's between him and then another 10 other people that he had to go to and say, well, he was like, how the fuck's that ever going to work?
Yeah.
Well,
it's the sense of a fan making music. He's like essentially a music fan ending up in a music business and not... on like not knowing how to control that different dynamic. If you know what I mean.
I think by the sounds of kind of how he put his stories across, that's what he was looking to do, is kind of vent his spleen a bit about what was happening to him at the time, and from that it turned into this
monster
huge following. That's the thing, is I got into Frightened Rabbit 10 years ago, Midnight Organ Fight came out, and it was just like, I'm into that. And 10 years on, the guy's been telling stories and all that sort of stuff. And when it came out that this had happened, it was just like, oh man. Because I remember being 21 and hearing Keep Yourself Warm.
Yeah, that's the first song I heard as well.
Yeah, and it was the opening lines to that about my hole. Yeah, I'll get my hole. And it was just like, what are you talking about?
That's the thing. It's the
I heard that in a mate's car and I was like, this is amazing already.
Type thing that just brings it home and makes it personal. It totally relates it to, and even if you didn't experience those particular things, you knew somebody that did, or it's a story that just
totally, because it's so raw and personal.
He was able to tie in both parts of drama with the comedy and tragedy, and he did it in so many of his songs as well, even in the song Poke, where he's talking about their love, and he's like, should we just let it die, or should we kick its cunt in and watch it die from bleeding? And it's like,
it's a love song with the line, catch a mouse in my mouth? I can't remember.
I can't catch a mouse and present it in my mouth.
We'll kick its cunt in. But it's a beautiful love song.
Yeah. Some amazing lyrics in there, totally. It's a proper sad loss.
Even their last album, I mean, Christ, that one's loaded as well.
That was a great album.
Paint of a Panic Attack. It is phenomenal.
I saw it come out and then I hadn't really listened to it, and you'd listened to it and goes, oh, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's
that sort of like just the lyrics, the production, the soul bearing that goes on in it. And I mean,
it all comes together. The production on that's really good, actually, but it all comes together really well.
It's so sad.
I was going to say, one of the things that like shows you what this means in a kind of like Scottish creative community kind of side of things as well, is like, we all know when there is some level of famous person dies, Lemmy puts out a tweet.
There's
a famous tweet that Lemmy puts out every time somebody died. Didn't do it.
There's a reason
because like, you know, a lot of people think of Lemmy as somebody who does things to shock and provoke and things like that.
Yeah.
But the guy understood.
He talks a lot about mental health on Twitter as well. Yeah. And he's
I think the thing that he put up was something along the lines of, just heard about Scott, really sad news. Sad day or something. It was something along those lines. But it's to be expected, because there's people out there who are fans of his who are absolute arseholes, and underneath it was all like, do it. But yeah, no.
And that to me is proof point that you don't understand what Lemmy's about.
Because there was folks saying, it's all right for you to do it about da da da, but it's not okay. And it's like, well, yeah, it's his decision. It's his feed. It's his comedy. It's his friend. It's his, you know, why would he do that if he doesn't want to do it, if it's not relevant to him? These other people, he does it because it's about the fact that he doesn't know them.
It's because it's the level between real and abstract.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. These other people are completely and utterly abstract to him. And the sort of, it's a kind of reaction to a certain public outpouring of grief. Sometimes like a synthetic public outpouring of grief. This was a genuine one.
Yeah.
This is a genuine situation. And it really affects the small part of the world where Lemmy's from.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
And Lemmy's very much in that sort of being funny and absurdist and stuff, but also that sort of pathos sort of thing as well.
Totally. Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. And in many ways, it's very similar.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to say that I was listening and Floating in the Fourth came on.
I haven't, and I can't, and I don't think I'll ever be able to. What it was one of my favourite songs, but I just don't think I'll ever be able to listen to that one again.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I mean, that day, the lyrics were running through my head, and it's just,
it's like you say, the way he foretold it.
Yep.
That's exactly it, so,
he told us the story.
Yep.
He's told us from the start.
Poor bugger.
Yeah. Sad days, definitely.
I know, and it's like, it's the importance of things like, this is like Mental Health Awareness Week as well. Yeah. There's lots and lots of things going on at the moment, like, just so happens like the work that like I end up doing, that there's like awareness of what that means in like various companies and businesses and things like that. And like getting an understanding of what like mental health like what looks
like.
Like understanding, diagnosing mental health in the same way you would diagnose like physical ill health and things like that, and making sure that there's no distinction between the two. You know what I mean? And like making sure that people get an understanding of that. So I think it's an important thing.
And,
totally.
And just for any listeners, there's tons of online resources like Mood Cafe in Scotland.
Yeah.
And Samaritans, obviously. Loads of just Google stuff. If you feel you need to go see your GP, go see your GP. Yeah. All that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's talk if you can.
People are there to talk to. Talk to them. That's it.
I'm on heat pills. You can be too.
We've all been there.
But yeah, like I say, it's absolutely gotten, I think, just sad. Sad, sad days.
It is. So keep yourselves warm.
That's a good note to end on. So yeah, but let's lighten things up a little bit and let's go kaboom.
Let's go north to a five of mine.
So Dunfermline.
Yeah, Dunfermline is officially lit, guys.
Yeah.
It's off the chain.
The underground lit up by a fucking explosion.
The underground scene's blowing up.
Yes. That's amazing. The joke. So yeah, if people don't know, there was a little bit of excitement yesterday, Tuesday, in old Dunfermline town. There was the first reports of an explosion at the bus station, which had lots of people going, what's going on?
A deodorant can.
That would get reported in the Dunfermline Press.
It's remember those little paper snapper things that you used to throw down?
What did you used to call them?
I can't remember.
Devil bangers.
Bangers.
The art of putting them on a paper airplane and then throwing it at your mate. Ever glide.
Oh, it's just...
You have to release it. It's like a Zen thing. You have to release it at just the right velocity, but not too much power in it or they fall off too early.
And just have it hit them right
in the
head.
They fall off and bang, I'm like, yes! Yes!
Anyway. In the spokes of a bike.
That was always
a good one. When somebody didn't realise they're kind of there. Oh.
Throwing them at cars and then have somebody in a really fast sports car chase you and corner you in amongst some garages, you and your mates, and you shit yourself, and then he just kind of reverses and goes away and just did it to scare the shit into us.
Nice.
Yeah, for throwing devil bangers at his car.
Well, he got to that point and went, what the fuck am I doing? What am I going to do?
They're eight.
I'll just kill them anyway.
Why not? What I was going to say is, like, like, actually, now looking back on it, should kids play with more devil baggers? Because realistically, they're sat in front of a fucking screen the whole time. Yep. Like, get out, buy some devil baggers, kids. Like, actually go and have a life outside.
Ah, go and buy a fake turd, you shower lazy bastard.
I don't know if you're shouting devil bangers or telling them to become gangbangers when you water you.
Yeah, very much. It's we have a crazy scene here. Lots of drive-by shootings.
If it was anything like my gang, when I was using devil bangers, it'd all be about that sweet powder. Dabs.
Was that the young Corthy boys?
Yeah. YCB.
Yeah, Jamie was dabbing like 30 years before the school.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
So I suppose we better...
So it was a damp fucking squib, the whole explosion.
Yeah, it was.
What happened? I saw it and I was like, oh, juicy.
There's a small hole around the bus station. It's like about 10 feet across.
I saw it was a £1 million worth of improvements.
Yeah. I think it was an electrical box.
It was an electrical fire. It kind of went pop and people got frightened and then the police cordoned off all of the town centre.
Fucking well done, Dunfermline.
It's not a guy throwing rocks at cars. It's a wee pop.
That was great. I forgot that. Yeah. Taps off. That guy seriously needed help. Like, genuinely. Leading on from our last discussion. But at the same time, it was like, what the fuck's happening?
It was very Dunfermline. What I was going to say is like, I kind of vaguely hope that actually what it done was like, caused an explosion that ripped a tunnel through the middle of the bus station.
Yes.
Because, oh my god, the bus station doesn't like open in the morning, so I have to walk around the whole bathroom every day to get in, and it does my fucking desk.
And people don't use the bus station properly. I'm guilty of this. So if I'm waiting for a bus, I stand outside, but you're meant to wait in the thing so that people can walk to their stop when the buses come out. Yeah. But then that means there's half people outside, half people inside, meaning both ways you have to walk through and around people. It does my fucking head.
Dunfermline bus station is the worst designed bus station in the entire fucking world.
It's somehow worse than Edinburgh. That's a shit bus station.
Also, they took out half the seats.
For no reason.
Why?
Maybe it's just you bastards deserve to stand and wait.
Exactly, yeah.
People were a clear target for devil bangers.
I was just going to say, like, I've travelled in developing countries where I've gone on buses where the drivers have clearly been drunk, and those bus stations were better than Dunfermline bus station. There were rabid dogs that I would rather stand the next than have to walk all the way around that fucking bus station.
Navigating around Disco Deke on his bike.
I remember one night coming up from work, meeting you guys in the commercial, walked up round the bus station and there was a whole load of lassies and two of them just dropped the dresses on, just dropped the pants and sat and took a piss at the side of the bus station. Lovely.
You stay classy, San Diego. Fucking hell.
Just like
defecation is a problem in developing countries.
Not is it though? No, I'll argue with you about this, but another time.
But yeah, so all I think we have to really say there is Kirkcaldy. You've got a lot to live up to now.
Where's your underground mini explosion?
Exactly. Yeah. Glenrothes, come on, have at it. Fife's got to step up its game now.
It wouldn't matter in Glenrothes because it's also spread out. So underground explosion, they just move a little bit to that side. Like, oh no, we've lost a roundabout. What are we gonna do?
Hang on, we've got this standing roundabout. Wheeled in.
Yeah, there's been an explosion in Glenrothes. It's added value to that. Yeah, that's a dig at Glenrothes right there.
They deserve it.
I think we're starting fights again.
We should probably get out of here.
So how will we get out of here? Will we go on a boat, maybe?
Yeah.
Go for a wee sail?
We could go on the river that's been blown through the underground of Dunfermline.
Yes.
Like a rubber dinghy rapid or something. Underground.
Yeah, and let's see where we end up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to BBC Radio 4.
Thank you.
It's that time once again when we take you to Desert Island Dicks.
And here we are.
Beautiful music.
Yeah. We got ejected out of the sewer system.
Spewed out.
Spewed out in rubber dinghies.
Not even good enough for an accidental sewer system.
We've just been whited out onto some kind of like island.
Yeah. Into that fucking island. Yeah. Once again.
By the way, guys, have we ever thought that we might just actually be on that island in the middle of Loch Leven? Stuck there with the goths and the police.
Yeah, that's maybe where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can never see land.
No, that's true. That's
probably just because it's misty.
I'm too busy fighting off a honey badger to pay attention to what else is going on.
Also, it's far too tropical on this island.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
But yeah, back here once again. This week, we thought, because Saturday is a really important day in this nation's history...
We're all super psyched.
Snore. In fairness, lads, like Prince Harry is a ginger and pulled a stunner. So,
that's true.
Well done, mate. From a fellow ginger.
Yeah, same. Although I don't know what annoys me more of a royal wedding or how much Kay Burley likes for royal wedding. I can't decide.
Or Kay Burley.
I was just going to say, or Kay Burley, yeah. Why is she still a thing? I don't know. It's not a problem. It started again. Yay! Hey. So sorry, Mark, you were saying.
Oh, I can't remember. It was weird. It was just weird seeing the papers going all mad about this thing as well. I couldn't give a toss. Like, the only thing that really annoys me is the weird seedy undercurrent of racism that exists in terms of that. We're going to have fun and blood in the royal family again. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
That's all the real family is.
That's all there is in there. Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely foreign blood. So, yeah, but obviously, yeah, we've got this big, big royal wedding. So big that we're not getting a day off this time.
Didn't we get an invite?
You're invited to every...
Oh, sorry, that was just me building in a guillotine.
Actually, to anybody who's listening, actually, there is a free invite for anybody to go along to the royal wedding in Windsor. So just get down there and go along.
Only if you wear a Five Club t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yes.
As long as you don't have a sleeping bag, apparently. Oh, there we are. You see that today?
Oh, yeah. Is that what they've been doing?
Yeah, they've been wheeling out the homeless, basically, going, oh, you're sleeping on the streets. Off you go, pal.
You're no longer.
Yeah, totally.
Police do that in Edinburgh all the time. Like, take people's sleeping bags.
Honestly, unbelievable. It's also all these like the what is it, social conditioning things that they've been doing outside places where they've been putting spikes on the ground. And it's just fucking horrendous.
But anyway.
Back to the island.
It is a perfect ideal.
Yes. Come here and work. Oh wait, no, we don't want you.
What we do to idols is we make them into military bases and force the local people off the land. True story. Anyway.
Back to our island. So what we were going to discuss was that the fact is that Miss Meghan Markle's dad has been in and out.
The bastard.
And out.
This has the very feeling of a Fife wedding, actually.
It does, yeah.
Where the father of the bride maybe is coming, no, he's no. She's turned the wage again. Like,
also, fuck for press for stressing him out so much that he wasn't sure if he wanted to do it. Then he's having heart problems, and the press are like, oh, is he getting... Oh, no, now he's having heart problems. Don't say it was Ben that caused it.
Yeah,
I hate the press.
Yeah, they're arseholes. Yeah. Absolute arseholes. But because it looks like he might not be there, and, you know, she's obviously going to have to get somebody else to walk them down the aisle, we thought, who would we want to walk us down the aisle in our desert island wedding? Now, obviously, you two guys have already been married.
Yeah.
So... You're,
this is a bit ox, isn't it?
Yeah.
That one didn't really work out, sorry, Jamie. But I mean, that,
Jamie's
that
still
was
two new toasters, though. He's quite happy.
Four slices each.
That's how he rolls. Or bread.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh, I fucking love that.
yeah, I actually hate you.
So I mean that awkward topic. I mean, on that day we went for the Honey Badger and Joseph Fritzl. I mean, upon reflection, maybe not the best choice.
A little bit of an omen.
Yeah, because the Honey Badger is a bit violent. Yeah.
So, just keep Fritz away from the granny's table.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of
Harold Shipman.
I was thinking of Harold Shipman.
Shipman's not on our island, not yet.
Is he not?
No.
Oh, no, I think he might be.
I think he is.
Did I bring Harold Shipman? I think it sounds like something I'd do.
I was having problems
getting to sleep.
Oh, no, that was... That was a Fight Club with Shipman.
Oh, it was a
Fight Club.
He's yet to be on the island, as is Gordon the Gopher.
Yeah.
They're both here in spirit. But yeah, I mean, that was the thought, really, was, you know, mm-hmm. who would we get us to walk down the aisle if we were to, you know, maybe do it again?
So, who's got an idea?
Well, I had a few ideas. My first one was... Dale Linton.
Okay.
Because he'd guide me down there quickly, and he knows about walking down aisles. But then
But does that also mean you'll have to rifle through the pockets of all your guests?
Or I just like tumble them into a trolley.
Which actually, into that we did to a friend on a stag beg. So, you know,
that's true.
You do that. Yep.
Then I thought Mr. Motivator, because he'd say dude a lot. And make sure I'm fit while I'm going down the aisle. But
you're doing lunges down the aisle.
Yeah.
Would he be in like his leotard and his bum bag?
Yes. Yeah. And on a similar note, someone who also used to wear bum bag a lot when he wasn't doing his thing was the person I've chosen, Wolf from Gladiators. We're gonna go down the aisle side by side on the rings.
Or a travelator potentially.
I didn't even think of a travelator.
Two of you struggling to try and get up there. Wolf trying to encourage. Well, trying to psych you out, not encourage.
He's a heel.
Yeah,
he's a heel. But this is my special day. This is my special day, so he's being a bit nicer. He's trying to be nice.
He's pushing you up.
Yeah. I always thought he was a bastard.
He was a right bastard.
Yeah,
sure.
I really just didn't like
him. Would you round it off by swinging through a large paper barrier?
Yes!
To finally land pleasantly at the altar.
Absolutely. I just thought of another
guy. Where you married Jet from Gladiators.
I think I told a story of a podcast about Scott Smith down the road from me who invited Jet to his wedding. To his birthday party. She wrote him a letter back saying, I'm sorry, I'm busy that day, but here's some like autograph photos.
Amazing. I met Jet. Just saying. Met her.
Got
an autograph.
So Wolf would be mine. I did just think of someone else, which would be Bill from Kill Bill. Because he'd just shoot everyone up.
Well, end of wedding.
Like, ideally, that if you haven't actually thought about catering for all of them, at the end of the day, keep costs down.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
The catering bill is surprisingly small for this number of guests. Yeah, not many people coming for lunch.
Where's the reception? Yeah.
just close family. No, not Uncle George.
I'm going to a wedding this Saturday, actually. So, I hope we all don't get shot that day.
It's not America, thank God.
Yeah.
Well, clip. Anyway. I
mean, the issue with mine, the biggest problem with my choice, is the fact that he's like fucking well determined to get rid of me. I mean, either to
it's not me.
You won't be back. Either to your mother, father or daughter, all while this fast mouthed bastard does a little dance and then drinks a little water. So I've gone for Anthony Kiedis, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, so he can give me away.
It was worth it.
Does he then go up to be ever fat any speech? Does he go, what I've got, which is you, I've got to give it to your mama. I've got to give it to your father.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's got to put me in you.
You have to consecrate the marriage like that, at some point, you know?
With everyone there.
Is that the word?
It doesn't sound right, but
no, it doesn't sound right.
Consummate. Consummate.
Yeah.
Consecrate. I think that's...
That's what the priest does. Because that might be, it might be an interesting wedding.
So, yeah.
Hey, Catholicism.
That is what a priest does.
It's all right as long as you confess. Them's the rules, right? He says with his Catholic family.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay.
That's kind of the end of that one anyway. I just Anthicaidus.
Anthicaidus just for that. Yeah. Fair enough. Mark?
I didn't really think I was coming on the podcast tonight, so like very last minute. But I just thought this is like a little bit of a gender reversal as well, you know, me walking down the aisle. So I thought what I would have is some like sort of some older female in the sort of like, you know, the father of the bride, this would be the mother of the groom kind of thing. And I thought, who is the nicest, kindliest old woman you can think of? Mary Berry. No, she's evil. Not Mary Berry at all. She's just an evil vampire. But no, I thought the kindest old woman in the whole of the history of television, Helen Daniels from Neighbours. Lovely woman. If I was stressed out beforehand, we'd just go like out the back of the church, do some Tai Chi.
Yeah, we could do that.
Like me, her and Brett. Brett Stark, obviously, because I'd be marrying his sister Danny Stark. I wouldn't really have been Natalie and Brulia, obviously. Yeah. Always. So I just
I don't know, I could decide between the two, I'd be torn.
Yes.
Eventually though, you might decide that it's all been a big mistake.
Yeah. And it's nice that we're getting married on this White Lily's Island. That's our second album that nobody listens to from me. Oh.
Whoa.
That was Mark dying there.
What the fuck?
Mark attempting to kill a potted plant.
Fucking hate potted plants.
I'll do anything to get out of a really bad answer. Is anything broken?
No, I don't think anything is, thankfully.
It's a fucking disaster.
I don't even know how that happened.
Yeah, I laughed at somebody's joke. And I roared.
Hardy.
Yeah.
This is hatred of evergreens.
A racist. Three racist.
Three racist.
Nothing. Palm trees are lazy. Yeah.
Nothing's pine, I'm torn.
Smoke gas. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, right, okay.
So, hi guys.
Okay. So just Helen Daniels, the only thing I'd be worried about is, and I think we can all be concerned about, was when Helen Daniels had that fall in the end when she fell off the kitchen stool at the end. So
yeah.
We'd be a bit sad about that one. But
we would be, yeah.
So is it Helen Daniels still alive walking down the aisle?
Her reanimated corpse of Helen Daniels.
Zombie Helen Daniels.
So I make sure.
Then you could break into Thriller and it'd be amazing. It'd be like one of those
first dance. Yeah.
It'd be like one of those annoying videos people put up of dance at her weddings, but it'd actually be good.
Fair enough.
Kutch?
I'm struggling. I've had all
yeah, so was I.
Do you know what I'm telling?
I was padding this out hoping that I would come up with something.
Mate, I came up with like five. Come on.
So who would I have walk me down the aisle?
Macho gears turning. To be fair, this is what I usually do. I'm like, I'll go last.
I bite mine out.
Yeah, always prepared, eh?
Yeah, totally.
Loser.
Dave's always double bagging.
A minute for the safety.
Yeah.
I think I would bring, or I would have MacGyver take me down the aisle.
Richard Dean Anderson MacGyver, not the shiny new one.
There's only one MacGyver,
okay.
And that is Richie Dean. But yeah, no, I think that could be quite good, because if anything goes wrong, like just before we go out, doesn't matter what's going to happen or what's about, he'll be able to fucking sort it. He'll be able to make something that will sort the situation out. He might be able to even make me some kind of, like, you know, mechanised trolley that will take me down as well, so I don't have to move my own arms and legs.
This is such a last minute idea. Yeah.
If you needed to bail out at the end as well, mm-hmm. he could just build a Stargate at the back of the hall.
That's true, yeah.
As well.
Or MacGyver a robot of me to take my place, and yeah, that'd be fine. Out of like a paperclip and a bag of sand. Yeah. That's what he did. So yeah,
I always wondered, like, if you basically gave him or the A team like an art attack, who would come out with the best thing? Would be like at the end of the day, because like both of them, like trapped in a shed with minimal amounts of equipment, possibly with Neil Buchanan as well, had Scouser playing around with glue.
I think for more of a bitter crowd.
Well, I was going to say
a bitter comp, you know, bitter.
Oh yeah, bitter. Yeah. I was going to say more so on the A team side is that they would have minimal amounts of things, but unlimited amounts of ammo.
Always, but, yeah, always.
So they might be able to like make themselves a gun, but where's the ammo coming from? Nobody knows.
Yeah, which is one of the best bits about Archer as well. It's like, I've counted the bullets.
Yeah. So that's my shit suggestion.
I just remember an episode of the A-Team there where they didn't go into a shed and they came out in a Sherman tank.
Yes. God, I used to love A-Team when I was a kid.
So good.
We weren't allowed to watch it. There was
me, too violent.
My three older brothers, my dad and my mum. Uh-huh. And all of the guys in the house were like, yeah, fucking A-Team. My mum was like, you aren't watching the A-Team. That was it decided for the whole childhood, no A-Team.
I remember like rushing back from a grand or like from town with my dad and just like, gotta get home for A-Team. So that and Quantum Leap were the two shows that were must see at the time, and you made sure you were home.
That bit in the credits where they shoot the A as well, so cool. They don't have like starts to TV shows like that anymore.
How many times? A movie? I've never seen it.
The
remake, seen bits
you know
of
what?
It.
It's all right. The only thing is that
the flying tank. The
yeah,
tank
but
the
also Liam Neeson is just like trampling all over George Peppard's grave in it.
Yeah.
Actually painful. But do you know who is really good in it? Rampage Jackson.
No way.
Yeah, he is actually.
He's good, but also Bradley Walsh's face, it is almost perfect.
Yeah.
And also what's
Bradley Walsh.
Yeah.
That's the presenter. No,
Bradley would be in Doctor Who. He's in Doctor Who. He's gonna be in a new series as like
as the companion.
One
no,
of
sorry,
three.
Bradley Cooper, not Brad. I do that all the time. Bradley Cooper, his face.
Face is doing like body end of the pier comedy.
Someone makes an innuendo and he's just sitting there laughing for half an hour.
And South African dude, what's his name?
Don't know.
The guy was in District 9?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, him.
Sha something. Anyway.
Fucking Bruins!
He was...
Templeton Peck.
Murdoch, yeah.
Was it Murdoch? Sorry, it was Bradley Cooper's face, sorry. Yeah.
Ah, that's it, yeah. And he was Murdoch, and he did an alright job of that as well, I think.
Yeah, I would say. The thing I've always said about A-Team is like Jim Carrey's entire career was basically ripping off Dwight Schultz that played Murdoch in A-Team.
Totally. That's true, actually.
So much so.
But then Dwight Schultz like turned up on every sci-fi show ever. Like, it was in Stargate, Star Trek, you know, just, I think, tons of stuff. He just turned up. He was one of these actors that liked.
So you had Dwight Schultz and Scott Bakula both turning up in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Both of your childhood TV favorites.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, nice.
Also, I mean, the other classic was Knight Rider.
But you obviously wouldn't have Hasselhoff walking down the aisle. You'd have Kit.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to have to widen the aisle, guys. Why? You'll see. We'll get some great Rye comments.
Kit's best man speech, we just absolutely savage.
Interspersed with.
That's because Kit was an early Cylon invader on Earth. To bring him back to the sci-fi thing from earlier.
But that's because it was all, what's his face?
The producer.
It was the same guy, and everything he had those red LEDs going back and forward. Yep. Aye. So yeah, that's that. That's the end, guys. Bye.
Mic drop.
I think we do have to bring it to a close, though, because we're doing all right, actually. But I think that's us done. Yeah, are we done?
I've got nothing else to add. I barely had anything to contribute during the actual show.
Yeah. I'll add something if that's all right.
Yeah.
Arena Fight Promotions.
Oh yeah.
We've not mentioned that for a little while.
No, we haven't.
Did we get off the island? We're off the island.
Yeah, we're off the island.
Fuck that island. Yeah, I'm sick of that shit. Arena Fight Promotions has the event coming up on the 16th of June. I hope I've got the date
16th
right.
16th of June, yeah.
Tickets are on sale. It's a decent MMA night. It's being held through in Kirkcaldy at the Ice Rink. Disney on Ice.
Yep, we're telling you to go to Kirkcaldy again.
Yeah. Sorry.
A fight outside the ice rink in Kirkcaldy.
Inside the ice rink. Yeah, it's crazy shit. So it's
on
like,
ice.
Yeah, it's like Disney on Ice, but with more violence. So better.
But less blood.
Yeah. So get your ticket if you fancy going to see an MMA night. Yeah.
Support your local band, Braveheart MMA.
I think we're going to be there. I need to check on that and probably buy a ticket would be helpful.
I think I'm going to be there.
but that should be good fun. I'm also going to be out doing a thing with the Daisies this weekend. They've got their Scottish Supper that they had up on their Pledge Music campaign. So going to that, and it's going to be some music and some whiskey tasting and beer tasting and lots of different things going on. So I'll be speaking to them and some other folk, and that'll probably be next week's episode. See how it goes. So that'll be happening. I don't know, is there any other news? I can't think of anything else at the moment.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Check out our new website. It's fucking cool.
Yeah, go and check on your website. I'm well impressed with that. Like, and cheers to Sean and the guys at 200x200.
Yep.
I got it right. Honestly, go and check it out, because I was like, yep, two thumbs up. Yeah. Nice done.
Yeah, it's good, and it's given us a nice platform to kind of grow things out a little bit as well.
To whore ourselves out.
Get ready for that.
I know what's kind of weird and surprising is like that our listenership has actually grown quite a lot recently.
Steadily.
Yeah, definitely.
are you trying to
upsell us?
Are you trying to make out things are bigger than they actually are, Mark?
A tactic I've used many times. Have another drink.
Fair dues. Well, I think it brings us to that time of the evening where I have to ask Dave, because you're the only one here. Again.
We'll go with everything is funny as long as it's happening to somebody else.
That sounds fine. I think it almost mimics Mayo and Kermode's. It'll all be all right in the end.
It will
all be right in the end. Yeah. Keep yourselves warm, Fife.
Yes.
Fuck
definitely.
Yeah.
Not through sparks at the bus station.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Let's turn it
big. I was just gonna. I was trying to think of a way to thing it in.
Think about that. Well done.
Just screaming at the bus station. It's gonna leave. Boom.